long ago, I didn't have any power, and the lights went off, and I was trying to start my truck, because, you know, you list something for sale on Facebook Marketplace, and it doesn't, and then somebody's interested in it, and you're like, okay, I got to go clean this up, right? And so I had to go out to the truck, and I break out the keys, right? And you know, after a car's been sitting for too long, it may not start, and that's exactly what was going on in my life. I reach over, and I turn, and absolutely nothing happens, right? Nothing. Not the dome light, not the ding on the door. Nothing happens. And so I do what all of us try to do, right? Turn it off and turn it back on, right? Like that's exactly what I did. I tried it again and absolutely nothing. And I'm like, I don't want to go get the, anybody know what these are? Jumper cables, right? Right, so I really, I even tried it a third time, right, because there's power in three, and so I tried it, you know, like after a little bit angry that it's not starting, you turn it harder, right, right? That didn't work, and neither do four-letter words when you're trying to start a car, just in case you ever wondered, but I needed help. I had to admit it, and I had to go get my wife's Ford to jump the Chevy, and so all you Chevy people in the room were happy about that statement. And I had to break out the jumper cables because it didn't have enough power on its own. Well, today, as we continue this series called The Comeback, we look at Peter. And we've looked at his life, and we saw how he messed it all up. How he denied Jesus, and everything changed for him. Well, what does it look like now? After. We've been seeing that journey. You know, after Jesus is resurrected, we took a look last week about how he's cooking him breakfast and calling out to him, and everything changed. But then Jesus told them to wait. That's not fun at all. But today I'm excited because we get to talk about the power to begin again, right? How do we begin again after we failed so much, but after we've started to listen to Jesus, after we've started to put his words into practice into our lives. That's what we saw the disciples doing. They waited, and so today we're going to be in the book of Acts chapter 2. If you're following along, it's in the New Testament. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and those are the stories of Jesus. But then we get to Acts, and we get the start of the church. But we get to see what happened after Jesus said, wait. And so if you want to turn there. Another thing, though, that we're working on, it's almost done. And so you're probably going to open the Innovation Church app today, and it's going to be, I've never seen this before. And so you may have to spend some time looking around. But in this little more section, there's actually a Bible in there, as well as the sermon notes that you can follow along. So, and just in case you didn't bring your glasses today and can't see all those tiny words, that you can follow along right there on your screen. There's even a Bible in there that you can follow along right in there with. But today, as we jump into Acts chapter 2, we see, as we've talked through this series, that Jesus has died, that Jesus has risen, that he's ascended. Before, we talked about it last week, before he left, he gave them this command, wait. Not to go, not to build, not to preach, not to go cast out demons, but wait, right? And we all sat in that kind of uncomfortable waiting last week. But Jesus knew something that many of us forget. And the reason he told them to wait is because we can't do spiritual work with only human strength. And so Jesus had, he said, I must go that someone greater may come. And so as we start off here in verse 1 and 2, this is when the day Pentecost arrived. This is the Holy Spirit. He comes in and says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, kind of like we get to do on Sundays. We get to gather together, pull together, and seek the face of God. It says, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were seating. Now, Pentecost, it was a Jewish festival that was celebrated 50 days after Passover. We're not there yet on the calendar, and Andy has reminded me that a few times. Like, Billy, why are you talking about Pentecost, not on Pentecost? I'm like, they've got to get ready. We've got to get ready. We've got to know what's coming. But Pentecost was a Jewish harvest festival celebrated 50 days after Passover, later associated with God giving the law on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. But by Acts 2, it became a major pilgrimage, bringing all the people from many nations to Jerusalem just at the right moment to celebrate Passover. And the disciples, they're together, they're waiting, they're obedient, they're following what Jesus said, and they're united in prayer and focused on what Jesus said to do. But then suddenly God interrupts. And I know that there's plenty of different times where God's voice is described as a nice, gentle whisper, right? We see in Elijah where it's not in the wind, it's not in the rain, it's not in the storms, it's not in the earthquake, but it's a still, small voice. But this time, it's a suddenly, it's an interruption, it's not a gentle breeze, it's not a quiet whisper. It is a violent, rushing wind. Wind in Scripture always represents the Spirit of God, the breath, the life, the movement. And this is coming from heaven, not from the people that are in the room, but a wind coming from heaven. And it's initiated by God, not produced by His people, because we can never manufacture God, right? There's people that try to get all emotional about it and scream and yell, right? But we don't manufacture it. We position ourselves for it. That's why we come together in praise and in worship every single Sunday and focused on God and ask Him to meet us in this place and celebrate His goodness each and every week. And some people are like, well, I just don't know about all that music. I'm not just sure about that. I just want to get to the Word. Well, how many of you like to be buttered up before you show up to into a place? Hey, man, looking good today. Hey, good to have you here today, right? Right? We love that encouragement. We love to be talked nice about. That's a room that you want to be in where they love and enjoy you. Enjoy your presence. How would we not think the same thing about our Heavenly Father? But sometimes we can be frustrated because we're trying to create what only God can send. But by the time you get to verse 3, it says that they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. I like fire. Any other pyromaniacs in the room? I was burning one last night. I was so excited. The wind was down. I could throw a bunch of stuff in there. It was great. All the things the kids didn't pick up in the backyard went in the fire. But it says they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire resting on each of them. If you do some research on who was in the room, there's both male and female. Oh, the tongues of fire were on them too. There were both leaders and non-leaders. It covered everyone in the room. Like everyone was equal. A lot like Scripture says. And it rests on each of them. Not just Peter, but each and every person. And we're gonna talk a lot more about the Holy Spirit as in kind of the fall setting in September and October. And really just open it up and understand it a lot more. But in the Old Testament, God's presence rested in places many times, like temples and in the ark, and they had to carry it from place to place. But God's no longer here, as we see in this scripture. It's no longer about a building. It's about people and filling people. And the power of God, it wasn't reserved for a few, because if we belong to Jesus, the Spirit is available to us as well. So verse 4, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever been filled with anything, whether you've been filled with pain, right? That can happen, right? Especially if you're taking apart a treehouse like me and Don were this past week. We were filled with pain, and it came running over the next morning when we woke up and tried to do our normal jobs and normal life, right? It was like, ah, right? And you get filled with something. You get filled with Taco Bell, and it comes running over, right? Like, if you get filled with something, then it comes out. And they're filled with the Spirit And they began speaking in languages that they didn't know. Languages that they didn't learn. They didn't like Duolingo while they were up in the upper room, like learning some other languages. But the Spirit filled them internally and expressed himself externally. And so what we have to notice, though, is that filling, it wasn't about a feeling. It was about an empowering. Because when the Spirit fills you, he's ready to move through you. Some people want the Spirit, though, only for their own personal comfort, right? Not for a greater calling, not to serve others, not to help others, not to advance the gospel. That's what they're doing here, advancing the kingdom. They're speaking so that the people around them can hear, and we'll get that. But some people want the Spirit only for personal comfort. But that makes Acts 2 not make that much sense, right? That can make parts of Acts 2 feel confusing or even uncomfortable, because the bigger picture that's happening here is the Holy Spirit's empowering them to live boldly, to love people well, to point others to Jesus in a way that goes beyond their own natural ability. Not just bringing you comfort. Oh, I just felt, I got some goosebumps here this morning when they sang that song, "Want to Be More Like Jesus." Oh, yes, I do. Yes. Right? We can get into that, and I just felt the Spirit move. Well, what did he empower you to do? Because that's what we see happening here. By the time you get to verse 5 and verse 8, people from every nation, as they're speaking these tongues, people from every nation are hearing the gospel being preached in their own language. And they're shocked. See, God is reversing division here. He's expanding his reach. It's going beyond Jerusalem at this point. This connects back to Babel, right? Where language divided people and cause them to scatter. Now, here at Pentecost, language is bringing people together under one name. That name is Jesus. And that's been my prayer, that we would do everything short of sin to speak the language of the people that are far from God. Not just trying to be super spiritual and trying to speak our Christianese, but in a way that people actually understand. Just like Jesus did. When he spoke to the farmers, he talked about sowing seeds. When he spoke to the shepherds, he talked about the sheep. He talked to the fishermen. He talked about fishing. See, God gives us power. It's not just for us. It's for the people we're called to reach. It's not just so that we could build up ourselves. But the Spirit empowers us to connect with people that we could not reach on our own. So by the time you get to verses 9 through 11, this is a message of power. They were declaring the mighty works of God, not just speaking random words, but they're pointing to what God has done. See, Spirit-filled people talk about God's activity, not just their own opinions, not just their own emotions, not just the things that they want to draw attention to themselves. See, what they're speaking is drawing the attention to God, is pointing to God, not themselves. See, the Spirit doesn't draw attention to us. He's pointing people to God. And if the Spirit's working in us, then our lives, then our words begin to highlight what God has done, not what we have accomplished, not what we want to do. And then as you get down to verse 12 and 13, it's this response. Right? The people that were walking by began to hear the message of God being spoken in a language that they could understand. And there were two responses. Some leaned in. Some wanted to know more. Some listened. Others said, oh, they're just drunk. They're just drunk in there. They have no clue what they're doing. And that's what happens every time God moves. Not everybody responds the same way. Some people will listen. Some people will lean in. And some people will say, oh, that's just those crazy Christians. That's why we don't measure God's work by everyone's approval. If we wait for everyone to understand your faith before you step out, you're never going to move. This church wouldn't be here if I was waiting on people to understand, hey, let's leave this growing, thriving youth group and go plant a church in a land that I've never known, surrounded by people I've never known. See, God stirs stuff in you and it's not going to make sense. Sometimes on paper, sometimes on the budget of $8 an hour, that didn't make sense to move an entire family. But when we're hearing God, when we're trusting in Him, it may not make sense to everyone in the world. But has He given you the power? Has He given you the word? See, Acts 2 shows up that God initiates the power. We see the wind flowing in, that God dwells with His people. We see God fill them internally, and God works through them externally, and that God reaches others through them, and people respond. But as we zoom in, as we've been doing in this series, we've seen what God has done and what Jesus has done through this resurrection. We've been zooming in on Peter, right? The one that failed, the one that actively denied Jesus, that we can all point to and say, okay, because we've all failed. And we can, at least I can relate to Peter a lot. But this moment should really not make sense. This is the same Peter who said, even if everyone else falls away, that I won't. But when pressure came, that he folded. Not in front of soldiers, not in front of leaders, not even going to be put to death. It was just a servant girl that said, hey, I reckon you must be one of them. He denied him 3 times. Peter walked away broken, ashamed, defeated. For us, that doesn't sound like a great leader, doesn't sound like a great preacher, let alone somebody who's ready to change the world. But by the time we're in Acts 2, there's a different story. Peter's standing up. Peter's raising his voice. He's addressing the crowd in a bold and a clear and an unashamed way, because he's no longer operating in his own power. See, that's what changed. It's not his personality. It's not his pressure. His power source changed. And just like that, those of us who are feeling dead, those of us who need a jump need to be connected to another power source. See, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do what we could never do on our own. See, the same Peter that denied Jesus is now filled with this Holy Spirit, which means your comeback isn't powered by your own willpower, right? Because that's going to fade, right? Tomorrow's Monday, right? Like, there's going to be something that happens at work this week where your own willpower is not going to be able to kick in. But what about God's? What about God's power? See, many of us are trying to live like Peter in Luke 22, right? The brash one, the one that always stands up, the one that speaks usually before his mind works. But what if we start living like Peter in Acts 2? See, Peter in Luke 22 is trying harder, pushing more, promising empty promises. But we can't fix a dead battery by trying harder. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, that's why we're looking at the Scriptures. Can we simply repeat what they've done in the Scriptures? Do what's already been done so that we can receive. What if we stop striving and we just start surrendering? See, discipline matters, but it's not enough. It's not just about a better habit. It's about being connected to the Holy Spirit, knowing the Holy Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit. By the way, if you're walking in the Holy Spirit, there's going to be fruit of the Holy Spirit within you. There's going to be love. There's going to be joy. There's going to be peace. There's going to be patience and plenty of times to use that patience. What if we actually start asking daily to be filled? God, I can't do this without you today. God, I don't want to do this without you today. Fill me again. Empower me again. And actually seek him again. And then number three, step out when he fills us. Because the Spirit doesn't just fill us to feel something. He fills us to do something. Some of us are waiting to feel ready before we move, but power often shows up when we step out. See, our willpower is always going to run out. You know it, right? That's why you can't even remember what your New Year's resolution was. Right? It's April, right? That long gone, right? That's that willpower. Goals fade, promises break, cycles repeat. Willpower is limited, but God's power, it doesn't run dry. It doesn't weaken. It doesn't depend on your past. It doesn't depend on your track record. The same Spirit that filled Peter is available to us. Not a different spirit, not a weaker spirit, but the same power. We'll continue talking about that next week. We'll wrap up, like, this is a part one and part two. Had to leave you hanging. Maybe go read Acts 2. You can read ahead in the story, and I will never stop you from doing that. But the same Spirit that filled Peter is available to us, which means your comeback. Your failure, it's not final. Your past, it's not permanent. Your weakness doesn't disqualify you. Especially if you're not trying to work in your own power. See, God specializes in filling empty people. And so today, if you're one of those that are feeling stuck, feeling tired, feeling frustrated. Maybe the issue isn't the desire to follow after God. Not the desire to trust in him. Maybe the issue is you've been trying to do it alone. And what if today could be your moment? Not to try harder, but to plug into a different power source. You don't need more willpower to begin again. You need God's power. So if you were to answer this question, right, as we get ready to close here, are you trying to restart on a dead battery? That doesn't work either. Trying to jump yourself off a dead battery? Are you even hooked up to the right battery? Are you hooked up to a vehicle that has power? Because if you are, no amount of trying harder fixes it. Trust me, I know. Maybe for you, this moment isn't about more effort. It's not about more surrender. Maybe it's about saying, God, I'm done doing this on my own. I'm done trying to figure it out. I'm going to trust in you. And some of you, you need the power of the Holy Spirit again in your life, not just to feel something, but to live differently. Others, if you're honest, you've never given your life to Jesus. You've tried to be better. You've tried to figure it out. You've tried to manage it on your own. But today, the moment to begin again. So we're going to pray that God would fill us with his Spirit. It doesn't take you being down at the altar. It doesn't take me yelling and sweating and hankies a flying. But that he would meet us just like he did with the disciples, right where we are. A group that's gathered, united, focused on Jesus, asking him to fill us, asking him to do what he wants us to do. Not so that we can. Not so that we can be healed. We seek the healer, not the healing. We don't seek it so, oh, I just want to speak in tongues. We seek the gift giver, not the gift. So today, as we close, it'll be a simple prayer. And some of you are thankful for that. Not going to be pushed over. Not going to be knocked down. Not going to have somebody like hitting you in the back of the knees while you're standing up at the stage. I've seen it all, guys. It's ridiculous. But what if it's just a simple opportunity? Asking that His Spirit would meet us right where we're at. To give us the power that we don't have on our own. And then, as always, we'll always want to give an opportunity for those that have never taken that step to surrender their life to Jesus. Because that one needs to come before you're filled with the Spirit. So just right now where you are, would you bow your head? Let's close our eyes. Let's open our hearts today. And after we hear His word, we want to live it out. So today, if you're here, would you join me as we just invite the Holy Spirit to come into this place? God, we come to You right now, not pretending, not performing, but just simple and honest. God, some of us feel empty. Some of us feel stuck. Some of us have tried and we failed even more times than Peter, more times than we can count. But today we recognize that we can't do this on our own. And that we don't want to do it on our own. So Holy Spirit, we ask You to fill us. Fill every heart that is open. Fill every life that is surrendered. Fill every place where we've been running on empty. Where there's weakness, we ask for Your power. We ask for Your strength. Where there is fear, we ask for Your boldness. Where there is confusion, bring clarity. Where there is exhaustion, bring fresh power. God, we don't want just comfort. We want Your calling for our lives. We don't just want a feeling. We want Your power working, not just in us, but through us. So here we are, we surrender again. We surrender our plans. We surrender our strength. We surrender our control. And we say, Holy Spirit, have Your way in me. Empower us to live boldly. Empower us to love people well. Empower us to step into what You've called us to do. Today we receive Your power again. Not by striving, by surrender. Today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you know, if you're here today and you realize you've been trying to do life on your own, if you have known that you have done life far from God, or maybe you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, could this be your moment to begin again as well? See, the Bible says when we turn to Jesus that He forgives us, that He makes us new, that He fills us with His life. And if that's you, I want to invite you to pray this with me right where you are. And don't worry, actually ask us as an entire church, whether online, at home, or in the room, wherever we may be, to pray this out loud with those that are praying it for the first time. It's just a simple repeat after me prayer. Let's pray this together. Jesus, I need You. I've been trying to do life on my own, and it's not working. Today I turn to You. I believe You died for me. I believe You rose again. And I believe You're the only one who can make me new. Today I ask You to forgive me of my sin and to wash me clean and to give me a fresh start. Today I surrender my life to you. I ask you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. And from this day forward, I choose to follow after you. I ask that you fill me with your Spirit and to lead me in the life that you have for me. In Jesus' name I pray.